options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe.
preaching on Don't Try the Tabernacle. We just got done with two messages in the previous weeks, centering around the Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, and ultimately we will be doing this tonight, Don't Try the Tabernacle. And again, I apologize for any noise you may hear in the background here in Tel Aviv. There's a place that was a little more quiet, but ultimately people came out and they started in front of this place talking and everything and basically doing their thing, and I was not going to be able to stay there. So ultimately, let me get into a word of prayer here and go ahead, come to you, dear Lord God, and I ask you, dear Lord God, Shem Mashiach, to have your way, dear Lord God, now, Lord, be glorified in all that is said and all that is done now in this edition of the Word of the King, as I will now get into Don't Try the Tabernacle. Father God, I pray, Shem Yeshua Mashiach, that you would, Lord God, now be glorified. Shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen. Anyhow, turn, if you would, please, Ezekiel, book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, Ezekiel 37. And as you're turning to Ezekiel 37, I would remind you to check out the website at www.holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's www.holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. And again, Brother Kenny will give you the information that you will need if you would like to make any financial contributions to Success Radio and Holiness Bibles for the Blind, the Word of the King. And then also there's Brother John McTernan's blog, website, www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And then there's also the website for Dave Hodges, www.thecommonsenseshow.com. And then also the website for Mike Adams, www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. Then also the website blog for Dr. Scott Johnson, www.contendingforfortruth.com. That's www.contendingforfortruth.com. And then finally, there's also for Doug Thornton, an American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, Thornton, American Vindicta. V is in Victor, I, N, D is in Daniel, T is in Tom, A, American Vindicta. And that's the program of Doug Thornton. And now, here, Ecclesiastes, chapter 37, starting in verse 1. We're going to read down through here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded, prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews upon and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, then ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Saith the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Now, here, as we're going through here, I would remind you that the Word of God declares in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking, he says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou canst not tell. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. So what we are reading here in the context here of Ezekiel 37 is we're reading of a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual quickening of these bones, the very people of Israel, the very nation of Israel. And if you jump down to verse 21, verse 21 down through verse 28, now going to read, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, God, behold, children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. There shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now, real quickly, I would just answer here, before we continue on here, two of the questions that were posed also in the previous program. We have every reason to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born December 25th, as is commonly taught and proclaimed, but that he was actually born more around the time known as Feast of Tabernacles. And that is because, ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came as Mashiach, the Messiah of Israel, in human flesh, he tabernacled amongst men the first time. And so when he came the first time, he came, and he was born, he was conceived in human flesh around that time known as Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. We have every reason to believe that. And we also have every reason to believe that he's going to return. Another question had to do with why we have every reason to believe he's going to return around the time known as Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, because we looked at, in the context of the Feast of Sukkot there in Leviticus 23, about how there's the gathering in and of the fruit there that we read about in the context, and how, again, he's ultimately going to gather in the fruit, gather in the harvest at his second coming, the harvest being the end of the world. And also, if you would turn very quickly, we're going to look at another reason why we have a reason to believe he's going to return around that time known as the Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah chapter 14. In Zechariah chapter 14, I read, starting in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And now, jump down, if you would, to verse 9. Day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And you look, keep looking down there, and you jump down there at verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. And how is it that Judah is going to fight here in the context of Jerusalem? Judah is going to fight in the person of Mashiach himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 15, and so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it's come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Family of Egypt, go not up, and come not, that have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not to keep the feast of the tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now under the law of Moses, okay, the Feast of Tabernacles, the command to keep the Feast of Tabernacles under the Old Covenant, the law of Moses, was something that was strictly given to Israel. But here in the context of Zechariah 14, we see that even the heathen nations are expected to keep this feast. We see here in the context of Zechariah chapter 14. So, this is also how we know, again, also, that what we read here in the context of Zechariah 14 is yet future and is yet to be fulfilled, certainly be fulfilled, even as we have in the very words of the living God, a more sure word of prophecy, as they are contained and as they are found in his holy words, as they are found in the English language, in the King James Authorized Version of 1611. And ultimately, as they are found in the received text, whatever language you may have them in the scriptures, as they are based on the received text, the text is accepted having come out of Antioch. And of course, the Hebrew Masoretic text, Word of God there, as it was given in Hebrew. Now, one more thing, too, in regards to the Feast of Tabernacles, wanted to make it a point to cover as well. Again, we looked at also there in the context about how day and the eighth day were both considered Sabbaths, and there were ultimately, okay, 8 days altogether. You know, and the question was posed, why were they commanded to keep the Feast of Tabernacles for ultimately 7 days? And ultimately the answer to that lies, if you just want to write this down and make note of it, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, says, Brethren, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that they should perish, but all should come to repentance. Even as a day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day, those 7 days the children of Israel were commanded to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. You multiply those by 1,000, basically each day was a picture of the 7 millennia, or 7 millennium, of human history, basically. And of course, even as in the context of creation, if you go back there to Genesis there and you read there, remember, the Lord, he rested on the 7th day after it was finished. And so, even so, him saving all whom he is going to save, and all Israel should be saved, then ultimately there's going to be that eternal Sabbath, that eternal Sabbath, which ultimately, if you're in Christ, if you're saved, you're born again, you've already entered into. And ultimately, even as we will partake in the new Jerusalem in eternity, it's a Sabbath that never ends. And therefore, there remains a rest to the people of God in and through Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, and how he is the Son of David, God manifest in the flesh, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God. The tabernacle, okay, he's the tabernacle. And we don't try him as the tabernacle of David, the Son of God. We don't try him. No, he tries us. He tries us. And on that note, turn, if you would, to the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 23. Here in Job 23, starting in verse 8, perceive him on the left hand where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Now, so, you're being tried, dear listener, you're being tried. Surely as you're being tried, okay? Surely as you're being tried, circumstances of life, I would encourage you to be reminded, as it is written, if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read. And I'm just going to also give Brother Kenny a heads up and let him know, Brother Kenny. Often what I'm going to do here when the time comes and I need to get access to a charge, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to go ahead and give me out the information. For those that want to make any kind of contributions to the program and to the work at Holiness Bible for the Blind, the Word of the King, Six Eyes Radio, and then also any prayer requests that you would like to make mention of. And Sister Ruth, I just thought of it. Sister Ruth, she ever shared her testimony. Is Sister Ruth there, Kenny?
No, she's got an appointment she's got to go to, Tim.
Okay, all right then.
But after you find your charger, are you going to plug in and call back, or?
Yeah, yeah. And like I'm saying, like I said, while I'm doing that, you can go ahead and you can basically get out the information if anybody wants to make any contributions, any prayer requests, anything else God puts on your heart to say. Go ahead and say it so I get that.
Okay, so let me know when you're ready for that.
All right, I'll do. Now, First Peter chapter 4. Again, you're being tried, dear listener. You're going through some things. Remind you to be encouraged in light of what the Word of God declares here in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 19. We're going to do the whole chapter here. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest. Do you desire to live, dear listener? Not to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 3. As time passed, of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Let me ask you, listener, is anybody, you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Has anybody been speaking evil of you lately? Because if nobody has been speaking evil of you, I would have no problem telling you, you're likely not living as you ought to be living. Because as surely as you do, they're going to speak evil of you. Some people will. Verse 5, you shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Dear listener, are you ready to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You disappointed the men once to die after this the judgment? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And even so, I declare unto you, repent ye, and believe the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Revelation 21, verse 8 declares, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Again, that word sober has to do with being aware. Being aware, being on guard. Again, watch unto prayer, the Word of God says. How's your prayer life doing, dear listener? Are you walking in sobriety before God, knowing very well that your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour? Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, you say that you are a recipient of the grace of God, or you serving as a good steward of that recipient grace? Are you a recipient of that grace, a good steward? Are you faithfully proclaiming to others how they can know that very same grace of God in spirit and in truth? Do you desire to proclaim it? Because if you don't have any desire to proclaim it, your heart is no doubt not right with God. And I would remind you that it's written in Paul's epistle to Titus. If there are those who profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being a bottle, disobedient unto every good work, reprobate, as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Again, you being tried, dear listener? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, verse 13, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed to me, be glad also with exceeding joy. We're exhorted, God in Christ Jesus, concerning you. Certainly, it's easier said than done, but nevertheless, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, and we are commanded to give thanks in all things. The Lord himself been helping me with that more and more lately as well. And we all need his help if we're going to do that faithfully, for sure. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. But the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begins at us. Shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Now, I'm going to go ahead here, and I'm going to seek out a charger here. Now, Kenny, again, if you would just go ahead and, like I said, give out the information, and just as the Spirit of God leads, just speak and say whatever and just hold the fort, so to speak, until I get back to you, okay?
That's all right, Tim. I was going to also add a little bit about that 1 Peter chapter 4.
Well, real quickly,
Because there's, first off, those out there that teach this healthy, wealthy, name it, claim it, stab it, grab it. And if you're out there, dear listener, as you saw, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it makes it very plain that that's not the way of it. God tells us, God tells us very plainly that he said, for as much as Christ has suffered for us, notice the words, in the flesh. He didn't say...
Kenny, can I interrupt you for a moment, Kenny? Just go ahead. Just go on that as long as you can. Back to you, okay? Just go off. I'll be back.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
All right, fine.
But as God said, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Now, we need to think, how much did Christ suffer for us in the flesh? Well, quite a bit. He suffered for us in the flesh on the cross. His hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. But before that even happened, he was whipped, was in ribbons. He was slapped. His beard was pulled out. And he didn't say a mumbling word. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, it says, arm yourselves. Now, to arm yourselves, that means get ready for battle. Arm yourselves likewise with what? The same mind, the same thinking. What thinking? Well, God goes on to tell you what thinking. For he that has suffered in the flesh. He didn't say in the spirit. He said very clearly, in the flesh. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Dear listener, you that say healthy, wealthy, name it, claim it, do you want to live a life of sinlessness, a life close to God? Your answer is right there. Your answer is right there. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Be ready to suffer in the flesh. Because that's where you will be ready to do what God wants you to do. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, the Bible says, it makes it very plain that you've got to have the same thinking. You can't think that you're going to live without sin and not suffer. The Bible makes it very plain you will suffer. Amen. Now, if you wish to keep programs like this on the air here at the Success Radio Network, there are several options for you. If you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com. Enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit number 2, digit number 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. And if you are wanting to send a check via check or money order, Mm-hmm. If you want to send a check or a money order, please first contact 6 at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information request. And then you take your, and in the body of your email, just write the fact you're wanting to send a check or money order and wishing to take and send that check or money order and need to pay to and snail mail information. All right. Tim, are you with us?
We'll get it. It's
okay.
Hello.
We'll get it together. Maybe this dog's going to come in work with you.
Dumb
dumb. Okay, and then... And then if you wish to send a check, a donation to Timothy Groover, you go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind.org. And you go down and click Sow the Seed Ministries. Once you click that, you go down that page and click Love Offerings. And you can send a donation to Brother Timothy Groover, who has been speaking today very eloquently, if I may add, on the Feast of Tabernacles. If you wish to send a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, for the needs that we have in the blind ministry, you got several options. You could go down on the holinessbiblesfortheblind.org webpage, down at the very bottom where it says Love Offerings, click that. You can use your credit card to send a donation, and we have some great needs coming real rapidly here. We have been praying for a bus, as well as we've been praying for the needs of donations that will help our website to stay up so we can meet the needs of the blind around the world. And then you could also send a check or money order. Send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness, H-O-L-Y, Holiness Bibles for the Blind at P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind at P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ohio. And that Ashtabula is spelled Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. If you wish to use PayPal, just go to PayPal, enter the email address, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com, and just enter the amount of your love gift. And in all cases, God will richly bless you, and we at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. Now, as to prayer requests, we kind of already covered that with mentioning the needs of the blind ministry having a need for a bus, as well as the need so we can go out, witness to the blind at the blind camps and blind schools around the United States, also needs for Bibles, etc., and our website needs. So we ask you to continue to pray for that. I'm going through tomorrow procedure for my heart. Wish you would all continue to pray for that. Then we also have Brother Tim and his needs as he's there in Israel in the Holy Land, coming to you live from the Holy Land as he's been bringing his message. And then, of course, we have Sister Ruth, her needs, special unspoken. We have Emily. She has an unspoken or two. Wishing to pray for her mom, people in nursing homes, first responders. Okay, Em, you got another one? All right, Tim, we do got you. So we're going to have your mic open momentarily, and you can continue your wonderful message. And be sure to pray for Emily and her housing. All right, Tim, your mic is open. You can continue. Give it a sec there, Tim. We're working on it.
Okay, there he goes.
There you go, Tim. You're on.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Kenny. And I would just add to that, dear listener, the next time we have our next edition of the Word of the King, Lord Boyne, I'll be coming to you, Lord Boyne, from either Spain, by the grace of God, Poland, or maybe still yet Scotland, one of those three places. And if in Spain, Lord Boyne, it'll be Barcelona, Spain. If you would be in prayer for also the Pizos family and the Capos family there in Barcelona, those are the two brothers who I'll be working with. Of course, they and their families there in the lands, be in prayer for them, the body of Christ there in Spain. And then also in Poland for this brother Corey Riggs, the Riggs family and the body of Christ there in Poland. Lord Boyne, if I go to Poland, I'll be working with this brother Riggs. And then also for Brother Dana Vogelpool, if you pray for Brother Dana Vogelpool and the Vogelpool family in Scotland, Lord Boyne, if I ever go to Scotland, Lord Boyne, I'll be working with them and maybe talking with Dana, Lord Boyne, as soon as tomorrow. But now, on that note, back to our message here, if you turn to Psalm 61, and again, we're talking about try not the tabernacle and how the tabernacle of David, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Most High God, one with the Father, one with the Spirit, the great three in one, how he tries us as the living God, Christ himself as the tabernacle of David, being the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, manifested in the flesh. We don't try him, he tries us. But again, here in Psalm 61, I read, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer, cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah." Can you say, dear listener, with assurance, the Spirit of God bearing witness to your spirit, that you are a child of God, that you will abide in the tabernacle of the living God forever? Can you honestly and sincerely say that you have trusted in the covert of his wings? Selah, and that word Selah again implies to pause, to meditate upon that which you've just read. Think about that. I will abide in the tabernacle, thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, that you and I, as mere creatures by nature, sinful men, could actually abide in the tabernacle of the Most High God, be made fit to dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High God, be made fit to trust all the more in the covert of his wings. Ephesians 2:9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's right, the very faith whereby we trust in the covert of his wings is the very gift of God itself. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 declares, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Verse 5 here in Psalm 61 down through the end of this psalm, verse 8. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Do you fear the name of the Most High God? Verse 6. "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth that they may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Thank God. I thank God for the very mercy and the very truth which he prepared for me, whereby I am preserved in and through the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Indeed, great is the mystery of godliness, that God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, turn, if you would, to Job 12. Job 12. And actually, we're going to start in Job 11. We're going to start in Job 11, verse 12. We're going to read down into chapter 12. and I read, "For vain man would be wise, though he be born like a wild ass's colt." That word vain has to do with empty, being empty, unprofitable. And indeed, by nature, we are vain, we are unprofitable, we have nothing, nothing good to offer our good Creator. We are indeed our best state, altogether vanity. Verse 13, "If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle." Are you giving place to the devil? Are you giving place to wickedness in your tabernacle? I'll be in your tabernacle, dear listener. Verse 15, "So then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as the waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety." Again, hope. Hope. Having obtained peace eternal. And such peace eternal only comes by way of the Prince of Peace, the mighty God eternal, as he came and was manifest in the flesh as Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself said in John 14:6 of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Again, unto a man but the end thereof are the ways of death. And what way are you walking? Are you walking the way of light, dear? Are you walking the way of life, which is the way of light? Or are you walking the way of death, which is the way of darkness, dear listener? And verse 19 and 20 of Job 11 declares, "Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee." Verse 20, "But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." Their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Hope shall be as death. And surely as you believe on his name, dear listener, in spirit and truth, as it's given unto you from heaven, according to God's election of grace, when you die, by faith in his shed blood alone, trusting in his finished work on the cross of Calvary, plus nothing else, for you to live as Christ and to die will be gain. Continuing on, Job 12, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 6. "And Job answered and said, No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not into you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? And even so, we know that the Son of God hath come, we're told in 1 John, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true. This is the true God, the eternal life. We're told in 1 John 5, verse 20, it is written. We're also told a little earlier there in the chapter, verse 12 and 13, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either got Jesus Christ, and you got life, or you don't got Jesus, and you got nothing but death. And verse 13 says, but these are written, okay, it says, we may know that we may have eternal life there in verse 13. So, continuing on here, verse 4, Job goes on, but I am as one mocked of his neighbor who called upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. Verse 5, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. And verse 6, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Now, I would remind you, just write this down. I encourage you to take notes. Psalm 73. Read Psalm 73. Asaph himself, the psalmist, he struggled with the reality of the tabernacles of robbers, of the ungodly prospering in his day and in his time. And even as he struggled until he went into the sanctuary of God, we read, and he saw that indeed God was setting them all the while in slippery places to in due time cast them down into destruction. We're told in another context of the Word of God that when the wicked prospered, is that they shall be cut down as the grass. Even as Proverbs 16, verse 4 declares, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Well, but behold, now is he set the time. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Continuing on here in the book of Job. Right here. We read, here in chapter 20, Job 20, starting in verse 23, Job 20, verse 23, we're going to start in verse 23 and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 29. Word of God declares, when he is about to fill his belly, he being the fury of his wrath upon him, it shall rain it upon him while he is eating. Verse 24, he shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. It is drawn and cometh out of the body, yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Indeed, as written in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So, have you forgotten God, dear listeners? The Word of God declares in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, you don't try the tabernacle, you don't try Jesus, you don't, or as I like to also say, you don't debate, you don't court Jesus. You receive him by faith, and you get betrothed by faith, and as you get betrothed by faith, you all the more get to know him. You don't date and court him and try and see whether or not you are him, and then all of a sudden, then cleave. No, you cleave by faith, and you get betrothed, and he seals you unto the day of redemption. You do not try the tabernacle, the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle of David, the Messiah of Israel, he tries you. He tries me. Told in the context of Psalm 11, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God does not love everybody. He does have a holy hatred for some individuals. The Word of God is very clear on that. So loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We read about the Lord and God, about how his eyelids try the children of men. Even as Proverbs 15, verse 3 declares, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And with just about the first hour here, over here and done with, again, just want to, once again, encourage you to be in prayer, again, for my renewing my visa back here in the land of Israel. I'm going to be hopefully flying out here for too long. I could have gone down to the border and done that, but ultimately, I did not have peace about doing that. I did do that once before. I was in the city of Petra once before. I went there to visit Petra with a couple friends years ago. And let me tell you, Petra, it's an amazing place. Amazing place. If you've ever been there, you know. It's an amazing place. But yeah, I wasn't getting a peace from the Lord about going back down and doing it that way. I believe the Lord wanted me to fly out and do ministry somewhere. Ultimately, this brother Tim Behrens, keep him in prayer, and the brethren out there in Las Vegas, but also brother Mike Cahill, co-pilot friend, Mike Cahill. Tim Behrens, he sent about almost 1,500 chick tracks, 14 or 50 to be exact, Why Is Mary Crying in Spanish, over there to Barcelona already. So be in prayer that those get passed out. Whether I pass them out or somebody else passes them out, just pray that they get passed out for God's glory and used for God's glory, along with any other material that is sent over there by John McTernan or any of the other brethren. So, on that note, continuing on here, the word of the King here, we're going to get going here with the second hour here as we get into this now. Try, you don't date, you don't court Jesus. You want to know who tries, you want to know who courts, you want to know who dates Jesus, so to speak? Judas's. That's who does that. Judas's do that. Sons and daughters of perdition, they do that. You know, we read there in the context of the Gospels there, in the parable of the seed and the sower, you know, how there was that one who, they received the word. The Word of God talks about how they received the word with gladness, with joy. But then when trials and tribulation came, they were offended and fell away. sudden when they realize that they're called upon to suffer for his name. Oh, having never been given a new heart to begin with to believe on him by faith, they certainly don't have the heart to suffer for him, and therefore they give him their own Judas kiss. So, dear listener, who, what are you? Are you a Judas? Are you about ready to give Jesus Christ a Judas kiss? Because if so, I can tell you, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus himself, he has said of him, so I would say of you, or better for you, that you had never been born before you ever give the Son of God a Judas kiss, before you ever give him, and albeit his Father and his Spirit, with whom he is one, a Judas kiss, better were for you if you had not been born. The Word of God declares, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind. Speaking of the sodomite, the homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Oh, thanks be to God. But you're washed. But you're washed. Have you been washed, dear listener? Made whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I can testify. I've been washed. I've been made whiter than snow in and by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Made a king and a priest under the Most High God. That's all the more why, by his grace, I can proclaim, as I proclaim to you. And so, on that note, I would say, if anybody has any questions or any comments,
okay, Tim, give us 1 minute to get the mics open here, okay? If you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number 1. We'll open up your mics, and you can give us your prayer request or what have you. And we will definitely get your mics open. Now, I just wanted to say, Tim, there's a lot of that you were saying that was pretty interesting. It was especially about the Judas kiss. That was pretty interesting there, and about the tabernacles. That was real interesting at the beginning there, how you talked about the Lord's birth, being around the Feast of Tabernacles, and his second coming might be around the Feast of Tabernacles. I never thought about that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
It's just us and you, Tim. Emily, you said you had a prayer request that you wanted to give him.
Be keeping my husband in prayer, Brother Tim. Also, I've been having some health issues going on.
Yes. Ruth shared with me a little bit about that. I know. Yes.
And then you also mentioned a lady that lives by you, Em.
Oh, her name's Latrina. Her husband's been out there twice last night, really late, getting very foul-mouthed with her, threatening to kill her, and she's scared to death.
So keep that as well in prayer, Tim. All right.
Yes. Okay. Nobody else then? All right, then. Continue on here. Dear listener, if you open up your Bible again and continue, look at Jeremiah chapter 17. And here in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 5 and read down through verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And again, dear listener, I'm reminded of where the Lord Jesus Christ said in the context of John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer is only the one who does the searching in verse 10. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Verse 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Right there, dear listeners, yet another reference, another clear reference to the triunity of God here in the Hebrew Tanakh, here in the prophet Hanavi. That's the way you say prophet, the prophet in Hebrew, Hanavi. And the way you say Jeremiah, Jeremiyahu, Jeremiyahu. Again, verse 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Again, he is Elohim, Son, Holy Ghost. Verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. What God, the Lord, does, as Holy One of Israel, what he does forever. Well, if he heals you, you're healed. And there's not going to be any unhealing you. No devil can unheal you. Once he saves you, you cannot be lost. No devil can take you to hell once he has saved you and once he has redeemed you as the Holy One of Israel. And the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And the problem is, you know why people try the tabernacle? You want to know why people just try Yeshua, why they just try Jesus? I'll tell you why. It's because they're not fully persuaded. They're not fully persuaded. As the Apostle Paul himself was persuaded when he wrote, in the context of writing to Timothy, of his suffering, and how he was persuaded that he, the Most High God, was able to keep that which was committed unto him against that day. And that very thing which had been committed unto him in that context that Paul is referring. I know by God's grace I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded that God is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day? Because surely, as you have truly committed it unto him against that day, obviously the day of judgment, the day of wrath, he will be faithful to keep you from all evil. Indeed, God hath not appointed us to wrath, as it is written in Paul's epistle to the church of Thessalonica in the context of chapter 5. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, on that note, let me now go ahead here and just also make mention again, Job 22, verse 23, as it is written, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. From your tabernacle? This, basically, I would equate as being the Old Testament equivalent of the very exhortation given, as it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. It is here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 19, but I believe it's verse 19, actually. But nevertheless, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's written there in the context. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And as surely as you have named the name of Christ in spirit and truth, there's going to be a desire and there's going to be a longing to put away iniquity from your tabernacle, to no longer walk in iniquity. There's going to be a desire in you to go and sin no more. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Is that desire honestly there, dear listener? On that note, I would begin now to read yet another chapter here out of Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners here by John Bunyan. Grace Abounding, Chief of Sinners by John Bunyan. This is basically the testimony of John Bunyan himself. Now, you must know that before this, Bunyan declares, I had taken much delight in ringing, but my conscience beginning to be tender, I thought such a practice was but vain, and therefore forced myself to leave it, yet my mind hankered. But I thought this did not become religion, neither yet I forced myself and would look on still, but quickly after I began to think how if one of the bells should fall, then I chose to stand under a main beam they lay over toward the steeple from side to side, thinking here I might stand sure. But then I thought again, should the bell fall with a swing, it might first hit rebounding upon me, might kill me for all this beam. This made me stand in the steeple door, and now, thought I am safe enough, for if the bell should fall, I can slip out behind these thick walls, and so be preserved, notwithstanding. So after this, I would yet go to see them ring, but would not go any further than the steeple door. But then it came into my head how if the steeple itself should fall, and this thought, it may be for aught I know, when I stood and looked on, did continually so shake my mind door any longer, but was forced to flee for fear the steeple should fall upon my head. Another thing was my dancing. Yes, dear listener, John Bunyan, evidently, he liked to dance. He goes on here. Another thing was my dancing. I was full a year before I could quite leave that. All this while, when I thought I kept this or that command, or did by word or deed anything I thought was good, I had great peace in my on my own way. I thought no man in England could please God better than I. A poor wretch as I was all the while ignorant of Jesus Christ, and going about to establish my own righteousness, and had perished therein, had not God in mercy showed me more of my state by nature. And so, dear listener, if you're still going about to establish your own righteousness, may I interject here real quick, if you're going about to establish your own righteousness, as Bunyan once was doing himself, and as I in my own way was doing before that day in March 1995 when I submitted myself by God's grace to his righteousness, may God give you a revelation in his mercy of your own state by nature. As one dead in trespasses and sins, defiled by sin and death. Bunyan goes on, in the sun, talking about the things of God and being now willing to hear their discourse. I drew near to hear what they said, for I was now a brisk talker of myself in the matters of religion. But I may say I heard, but understood not, for they were far above out of my reach. Their talk was about a new birth, the work of God in their hearts, as also how they were convinced of their miserable state by nature. They talked how God had visited their souls with his love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promise they had been refreshed, comforted, and supported against the temptations of the devil. Moreover, the reasons of the suggestions and temptations of Satan in particular, and told to, and how they were borne up under his assaults. They also discoursed of their own wretchedness of heart and of their unbelief, and did continue slight and abhor their own righteousness as filthy and insufficient to do them any good. And even so, dear listener, I would exhort you to come to that same conclusion by God's grace. Oh, I pray it would be given unto you to understand and to see that indeed, filthy and insufficient is any of the good that you do to try to please the holy God of heaven and earth, the Holy One of Israel. Claire Bunyan himself here, pardon me here for any noise here in the background. Here's people here just passing by here. But anyways, Bunyan goes on here. And methought they spoke as if joy did make them speak. They spoke with such pleasantness of scripture language and with such appearance of grace in all they said that they were to me as if they had found a new world, as if they were people that dwelt alone and were not to be reckoned among their neighbors. At this, I felt my own heart begin to shake and mistrust my condition to be naught, For I saw that in all my thoughts about religion and salvation, the new birth did never enter my mind, neither knew I the comfort of the word and promise, nor the deceitfulness and treachery of my own wicked heart. As for secret thoughts, neither did I understand what Satan's temptations were, nor how they were to be withstood and resisted. Thus, therefore, when I had heard and considered what they said, I left them and went about my employment again. But the talk and discourse went with me. Also, my heart would tarry with them, for I was greatly affected with their words, both because by them I was convinced that I wanted the true tokens of a truly godly man, and also because by them I was convinced of the happy and blessed condition of him that was such a one. Therefore, I would often make it my business to be going again and again into the company of these poor people, and the more I went among them, the more I did question my condition, and as I still do remember, presently I found two things within me at which I did sometimes marvel, especially considering what a blind, ignorant, sordid, and ungodly wretch, but just before I was. The one was a very great softness and tenderness of heart, which caused me to fall under the conviction of what by Scripture they asserted, and the other was a great bending in my mind to a continual meditating on it and all other good things which at any time I heard or read of. Pardon me here for one moment. This will not take long. Okay. Continuing on here. But he goes on. By these things, my mind was now so turned that it lay like a horse leech at the vein, still crying out, give, give. My mind was so fixed on eternity and on the things about the kingdom of heaven, that is, so far as I knew, though as yet, God knows, I knew but little, that neither pleasures, nor profits, nor persuasions, nor threats could loose it or make, and though I may speak it with shame, yet it is in very deed a certain truth. It would then have been as difficult for me to have taken my mind from heaven to earth as I have found it often since to get it again from earth to heaven. One thing I may not omit. There was a young man in our town to whom my heart before was knit more than to any other. But he being a most wicked creature for cursing and swearing and uncleanness, I now shook him off and forsook his company. About a quarter of a year after I had left him, I met him in a certain lane and asked him how he did. He, after his old swearing mad way, answered he was well. But Harry, said I, why do you swear thus? What will become of you if you die in this condition? He answered me in a great chin. What would the devil do for company if it were not for such as I am? About this time, I met with some Branner's books that were put forth by some of our countrymen. Which books? Were also highly esteemed by several professors. Some of these I read, but was not able to make any judgment about them. Wherefore, as I read in them and thought upon them, seeing myself unable to judge, I would betake myself to hearty prayer in this manner. O Lord, I am a fool and not able to know the truth from error. Lord, leave me not to my own blindness, either to approve of or condemn this doctrine. If it be of me, not embrace it. Lord, I lay my soul in this matter only at thy feet. Let me not be deceived. I humbly beseech thee. Bunyan goes on. I had one religious companion all this while, and that was the poor man I spoke of before. But about this time he also turned a most devilish ranner and gave himself up to all manner of filthiness, especially uncleanness. Talked about being a Judas earlier. Well, here Bunyan had his own encounter, his own dealings with a Judas. He goes on again. But about this time, he also turned in the most devilish manner and gave himself up to all manner of filthiness. He would also deny that there was a God, angel, or spirit, and would laugh at all exhortations to sobriety. When I labored to rebuke his wickedness, he would laugh the more and pretend that he had gone through all religions and could never hit upon the right till now. He told me also that in a little time I should see all professors turn to the ways of the ranters. And I would interject and say, dear listeners, the only way that would ever happen is if all professors were themselves Judases. But again, surely as you are truly saved, the Lord Jesus Christ did not make you a Judas. Bunyan goes on. Wherefore, abominating these cursed principles, I left his company. The Lord Jesus Christ takes you and he creates in you a new heart, makes you a new creature. He gives you those new desires that are according to his holiness and to his likeness. You're going to find yourself making new friends, and you're going to find not only you not desiring to be around the people that you were once desiring to be around, but they themselves, in many cases, are not going to desire to be around you unless God, of course, is working to put a new heart in them likewise, and they are in the process of receiving such a heart as you have received. Bunyan goes on. Neither was this man only a temptation to me, but my calling lying in the country, I happened to come into several people's company who, in religion formerly, yet were also drawn away by these ranners. Bunyan yet had his encounter with more Judases, again, professing to know God, but in works they denied him, being abominable, disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Bunyan goes on, these would also talk with me of their ways and condemn me as legal and dark. Oh, surely as you try to walk holy and be holy, as Christ is holy, and as you were commanded, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. There are those individuals who will accuse you of being legalistic. But surely as you're walking in obedience according to the written word of God, you're certainly not legalistic, not in the simple pharisaical sense as they're trying to portray you. The only reason why such people would call you a legalist in that context is because basically what they want is they want what is referred to in the theological term as an antinomian faith, a faith which is totally lawless and has no holiness about it whatsoever. And he goes on. Again, these would also talk with me of their ways and condemn me as legal and dark, pretending that they only had attained perfection, that they could do what they would and not sin. Oh, these temptations were suitable to my flesh, I being but a young man in my nature, and had, as I hope, designed me for better things, kept me in the fear of his name, and did not suffer me to accept such cursed principles. And blessed be God who put it into my heart to cry to him, to be kept and directed, still distrusting mine own wisdom. For I have since even seen the effects of that prayer in his preserving me not only from many errors, but from those also that have sprung up since. The Bible was precious to me in those days. And now, methought, I began to look into the Bible with new eyes and read as I never did before, and especially the epistles of the Apostle Paul were sweet and pleasant to me, and indeed, that I was never out of the Bible, either by reading or meditation, still crying out to God that I might know the truth and the way to heaven and glory. And as I went on and read, I hit upon that passage to one is given by the Spirit of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another, faith. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. And though I have since seen that by this scripture the Holy Ghost intends in special things extraordinary, yet on me it did then fasten with the conviction that I did want things ordinary, even that understanding and wisdom that other Christians had. On this word I mused and could not tell what to do. Especially this word faith put me to it, for I could not help it, but sometimes must question whether I had any faith or no. But I was loath to conclude I had no faith if I to do so. Thought I then, I shall count myself a very castaway indeed. Again, Bunyan declares, on this word I mused and could not tell what to do, especially this word faith put me to it. For I could not help it, but sometimes must question whether I had any faith or no. But I was loath to conclude I had no faith, for if I do so, thought I the way indeed. Bunyan, obviously, in this context, is not thinking very highly of himself. Dear listener, do you think very highly of yourself? Because if you think very highly of yourself, you will be abased sooner or later. You will be abased sooner or later, either in salvation or in damnation. Truly saved, but you're still thinking too highly of yourself, then the Heavenly Father will be faithful to chasten you, even as the Father chastens the Son whom he loves. And Bunyan goes. goes on. He says, he declares, "No, said I with myself, though I am convinced that I am an arrogant sot, and that I want those blessed gifts of knowledge and understanding that other people have. At a venture, I will conclude I am not altogether faithless, though I know not what faith is, for it was shown me, and that, too, as I have since seen by Satan, that those who conclude themselves in a faithless state have neither rest nor quiet in their souls, and I was loath to fall quite into despair. Wherefore, by this suggestion, I was for a while made afraid to see my want of faith, but God would not suffer me thus to undo and destroy my soul, but is continually against this, my sad and blind conclusion creates still within me such a supposition, insomuch that I could not rest content until I did now come to some certain knowledge, whether I had faith or no, always running in my mind. But how if you want faith indeed? But how can you tell you have faith? And besides, I saw for certain that if I had not, I was sure to perish forever. So that though I endeavored at the first to overlook the business of faith, yet in a little time I better considering the matter was willing to put myself upon the trial whether I had faith or no." And so, dear listener, put yourself upon the trial as Bunyan did here in this context. And ask yourself, do you have faith or no? Because God makes it clear in the scriptures that not all men have faith. And again, Hebrews 11, verse 6 declares, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." Bunyan goes on here, "But alas, poor wretch, so ignorant and brutish was I, that I knew not to this day any more how to do it than I knew how to begin and accomplish a rare and curious piece of art which I never yet saw or considered. Wherefore, while I was thus considering and being put to a plunge about it, for you must know that as yet I had not in this matter broken my mind to anyone, nor only did hear and consider, the tempter came in with this delusion that there was no way for me to know that I had faith, but by trying to work some miracles, urging these scriptures that seemed to look that way for enforcing and strengthening his temptation." Again, Bunyan declares, "Wherefore, while I was thus considering and being put to a plunge about it, you must know that as yet I had not in this matter broken my mind to anyone, only did hear and consider, the tempter came in with this delusion that there was no way for me to know I had faith, but by trying to work some miracles, urging those scriptures that seemed to look that way for enforcing and strengthening the temptation. Nay, one day, as I was between Elstal and Bedford, temptation was hot upon me to try if I had faith by doing some miracle, which miracle at this time was this. I must say to the puddles that were in the horse pads, be dry, and to the dry places came into my mind, but go under yonder hedge and pray first that God would make you able. But when I had concluded to pray, this came hot upon me, that if I prayed and came again and tried to do it, yet did nothing withstanding, notwithstanding, then to be sure, I had no faith, but was a castaway and lost." Again, Bunyan declares, "But when I had concluded to pray, this came hot upon me, that if I prayed and came again and tried to do it, notwithstanding, then to be sure, I had no faith, but was a castaway and lost. Nay, thought I, if it be so, I will not try yet, but will stay a little longer, and so I continued at a great loss. For I thought, if they only had faith, which could do such wonderful things, then I concluded that for the present, I neither had it, nor yet, for the time to come, was ever like to have it. Thus I was tossed between the devil and my own ignorance, and so perplexed, especially at some time, that I could not tell what to do. Grace abounding to chief of sinners." By John Bunyan. In chapter 3, Grace Abounding to Chief of Sinners by John Bunyan. And Lord willing, next week we will do chapter 4, God willing. But again, dear listener, we get ready to wind down here this edition of The Word of the King. Again, you don't try the tabernacle. You don't try Jesus, the tabernacle for among men. As he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, he tries you and me. And when he tries you and me, the question is, are we going to be offended in the midst of the trial? And surely, as we are truly one of his elect, he has confirmed us, the word of God declares, unto the end, according to what is written in Paul's epistle to the church of Corinth. And even as he has confirmed us to the end in his faithfulness, his grace will see to it that we endure unto the end. But if you're truly not born of his spirit, if you're truly not one of his, even as the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, in due time it will be manifested. You will go out from us, even as you were not one of us, as it's written in the context of 1 John. So, again, prepare to meet thy God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And, of course, that understanding is something that God, of his own will, must choose to give you. But surely as you cry out to him for that understanding, you cry out to him for that knowledge, the desire in you to call out for such understanding, for such knowledge to begin with. And yet there is the other context in which we do read Proverbs 1 of those sinners who will call upon him, and yet he will not hear, even as they chose not the fear of the Lord. And indeed, it's written that there is no fear of God before their eyes. The eyes, howbeit of the natural man, unregenerate, dead in trespasses and sins, no fear of God before his eyes whatsoever. So, may God work the will to do in you of his good pleasure, dear listener. And may you, and on that note, I would just encourage you to be in prayer again as I am here in the land of Israel. Pray that I would, by God's grace, that God would enable me to all the more master the Hebrew language. Continue to pray for God's provision for me, the matter of finances, and also for the matter of a help me as well. Again, I'm wanting to work here in the land, okay, but I have to be able to do so legally, so pray that God would open up a door for me to work here in the land of Israel legally for his honor, for his glory. And by the way of being able to work legally, be able to bring in some extra finances by the grace of God to be used for his honor and glory as well in that context. And also be in prayer for my communications also with a number of young ladies, among them this young lady, Orlee, that I've asked you to pray about in the past here in the program. Kenny and Ruth may also be contacting her here before long. You'd be in prayer for our communications with her, Orlee. Again, her name in Hebrew means I have a like. And then also for this other young lady named Barrett Rose that I told you about in the past. Lord willing, by the grace of God, still going to contact, still be able to get in communication with her and her brother Shai, sister-in-law, at least before all said and done. And see God get glorified there as well. So again, till next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours. And remember, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Time, God bless you and yours.
God bless everybody, and we'll catch you tomorrow for the Wednesday night Bible study. And Brother Six will be taking that. And we hope everybody has enjoyed 7 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless.